Heavenly Father, as we begin this study of this series, we ask that as we're entering into the part where we're drawing some conclusions, that you would grant us the presence of your Holy Spirit. You guide and direct what we share. And open our hearts and minds to understand what you have for us. We're looking at things that are based upon the pioneer understanding, but truths that the pioneers didn't recognize. So it may be unfamiliar to some that are following this series. We ask that you give them an extra measure of your Spirit to help open their understanding. We ask that you take control of the thoughts and words that I present here and pour your latter rain out upon us by opening your word to our understanding at this time. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been looking at many things, of course, in the book of Daniel, but by upholding the pioneer position of the daily, we have a point of reference that allows us to see that there are two stories that run through Bible prophecy, the story of Jerusalem, the story of Babylon, and that the prophecies that the Millerites came to understand that present the outline for the story of Jerusalem are repeated in the story of Babylon. We're taking a section of this repetition here and looking at it. We established upon the testimony of three in our last presentation, this being the history of Christ. He was born here. 30 years later, he's empowered at the baptism. And then he gives his testimony for 1,260 days until the cross where he dies. And we line this up with the history of Antichrist, the setting up of Antichrist, according to Daniel 12:11, was 30 years when the daily was taken away in 508. 30 years later, the papacy is empowered. It gives its satanic testimony for 1,260 days. It receives its deadly wound right in line with when Christ was crucified. We now want to look at a truth we didn't address in the last presentation, that this history here of Christ is a history of him changing dispensations from the earthly sanctuary to the heavenly sanctuary, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And in this regard, then we see that this history too is a change of satanic dispensations from the first satanic dispensation, which is paganism, is being set aside for the second, papalism, just as the first dispensation of the Father is being set aside for the dispensation of the Son, and that following this, we see the dispensation of the Holy Spirit in this history, and therefore, in this history, we see the dispensation of the false prophet. So, in our notes, this is number 19 in our series. In our notes, we start with Testimonies, Volume 6, page 219, that says, "And while the powers of darkness are stirring up the elements from beneath, the Lord God of heaven is sending power from above to meet the emergency by arousing his living agencies to exalt the law of heaven." And you see this contrast with the powers of Satan and the powers of God, the powers of God coming down from heaven, powers of Satan represented as coming up from the earth. This is the controversy between Christ and Satan. And in this controversy, the powers of Satan here at the end of the world are threefold: the beast, the dragon, and the false prophet. And we're making a case that the powers of God are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is a controversial subject in Adventism today. And we're trying to establish this first from the prophetic record and thereafter with some of the theological arguments. In this history here, Christ is taking away the previous dispensation. If you go to Hebrews 10, verses 8 through 10, all we're going to do is contrast the dispensational change of Christ with the dispensational change of Satan. In Hebrews 10, 8 through 10, it says, "Above, when he said, 'Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law,' then said he, 'Lo, I come to do thy will, O God.'" Now notice what he says. He taketh away the first. Okay, when he's taking away the first This is paralleling the taking away of the daily. Okay, same words. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So Christ is taking away the first dispensation to bring in the second dispensation. And it's not an accident that it is taken away. So the first godly dispensation is taken away for the next godly dispensation. This is paralleled in this satanic history. If you go to Daniel 12, 11 and 12, which we've looked at often in this series, Daniel 12, 11 says, "And from the time the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days." And if you go back to chapter 11, verse 31, it says, "An arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate." We're showing that the daily here is the dragon power. The dragon power is the first satanic dispensation. And the dragon is wanting to take over the position of God, the Father. Daniel symbolizes the dragon power with the word daily, which means continual. And of the three satanic powers, being the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, the one that has continually opposed God and his people throughout history is the dragon. This is why Daniel uses the term continual to represent the dragon. It's the one that has continually been there. Papacy isn't in power until 538. The false prophet doesn't come until the Millerite history. So of those three satanic powers, the one that is continually there throughout history, Daniel chooses the perfect word, the daily. And the dragon, Isaiah 14, it's wanting to take over the Father's throne. This is the counterfeit of the Father's throne. And in Daniel 11:31 and Daniel 12:11, the daily, the first satanic dispensation, was removed in 508 in order to bring in the second, paralleling the work of Christ in setting aside this dispensation of the earthly sanctuary and bringing in the dispensation of the heavenly sanctuary. They both are going to give their testimony for 3.5 years. The Great Controversy 327 says, "In the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease." In AD 31, 3.5 years after his baptism, our Lord was crucified. And then in the Great Controversy, page 55, it says, "In the 6th century, 3.5 years, Christ gives his testimony here, 1,260 days. And this is his testimony of life. And the Antichrist is going to give his testimony of death for the same amount of time, prophetically. Okay, Great Controversy 55 says, "In the 6th century, the papacy had become firmly established. Its seat of power was fixed in the imperial city, and the Bishop of Rome was declared to be the head over the entire church." Paganism had given place to the papacy. Sister White's talking about this history. Paganism had given place to the papacy. This, the daily, is paganism. There are several words that represent this first satanic power. One is paganism, and it has given way to the papacy. The papacy is the second satanic dispensation. Paganism had given place to the papacy. The dragon had given to the beast his power, his seat, and his great authority. And now the 1,260 years of papal oppression foretold in the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation began. Here, this 1260 years, this 1260 years, parallel histories. In Hebrews 9, verses 15 through 17, we see that this dispensation is accomplished, Christ's dispensation, by death. Hebrews 9, 15 says, "And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator live." If you make a will for your children, the will is of no strength until you die. But Christ brings in the New Testament, replacing the Old Testament, that's going in this on in this history, by means of death, the death of the cross. Okay, so too, if you go to Revelation 13, verse 3, this second satanic dispensation is testified to by the death of the papacy. In verse 3 of Revelation 13, it says, "And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." So here, the death of the papacy testifies to this 1260 years of testimony. The death of Christ testifies to his 1260 years of testimony. Parallel histories. Now notice, if we worship the Son, we're worshiping the Father. Go to 1 John 2:23. 1 John 2:23 says, "Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also." And then go to John 14:1 in connection with this. John 14:1, "If you have the Son, you have the Father." It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." To believe in Christ, to worship Christ, is to worship the Father. If you believeth in the Son, you believeth in the Father. And in Revelation 13, verse 4, speaking of the Antichrist power, the one that is counterfeiting the dispensation of Christ, in verse 4 it says, "And they worship the dragon." Who's the dragon? The dragon is this dispensation. Okay? "And they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him?" As they worship the beast here, the papacy is the beast, and the beast is counterfeiting Christ. As they worship the beast, who are they worshiping? The dragon. As you worship Christ, who are you worshiping? The Father. To worship Christ is to worship the Father. To worship the papacy is to worship Satan. Parallel lines of prophecy. And the point of these parallel lines of prophecy is we're going to see that there's a third holy dispensation. Therefore, there must be a third unholy dispensation. In Matthew 11, 27, we're told that the Father gives all things to the Son. Matthew 11, 27. Matthew 11, 27 says, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. But all things are given to the Son by who? By the Father. And if you go to Revelation 13:2, which we've already looked at, but we'll look at it again, we find that all things were given to the papacy by the dragon. The dragon is the father of the papacy. In Revelation 13:2, it says, "And I saw one of the heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world..." That's verse 3. "And the beast which I saw was like unto the leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his seat, and great authority." The Father gave all things to the Son, and the dragon gives all things to his son, the papacy, the son of perdition. Okay. Hebrews 1, verse 3 tells us that Christ is the image of the Father. Hebrews 1, verse 3. Let's start in verse 2. Verse 1. "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners in time past spake unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." And Jesus is the image of the Father. And if you go to Revelation 12:3, we'll see the image of the dragon, who's the father of the papacy. The image of the dragon in Revelation 12:3. "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head." So the dragon, its image is it has 7 heads and 10 horns. And then if you go to Revelation 13, verse 2, speaking of the papacy, the son of the dragon, the son of perdition, it says, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard." Verse 1 is what I want. If you want to make a change in your notes, that should be Revelation 13:1, the image of the dragon. It says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast," that's the papacy, "rise up out of the sea, having" what? 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy." So the dragon has 7 heads and 10 horns, the father of the papacy. And the papacy has how many heads? 7 heads and 10 horns. Christ is the image of the Father. The papacy is the image of Satan. Hebrews 8... verses 1 through 7 speaks of the dispensation of the Son. Hebrews 8, 1 through 7. "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou makest all things according to the pattern shewed thee to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry." Christ has obtained a more excellent ministry. "By how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second." So The second covenant is the dispensation of the Son. And the third covenant here is the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. This is the dispensation of the Son. Now we're living in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. We'll show you this. Dispensation of the Father. Dispensation of the dragon. Dispensation of the son of perdition. Dispensation of the false prophet. Okay, notice this next quote from Testimonies of Ministers, page 511. The dispensation in which we are now living is to be, to those that ask, the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. Ask for His blessing. It is time we were more intense in our devotion. To us is committed the arduous but happy, glorious work of revealing Christ to those who are in darkness. We are to proclaim the special truths for this time. For all this, the outpouring of the Spirit is essential. We should pray for it. The Lord expects us to ask Him. We have not been wholehearted in this work. So we see that the dispensation of the Father was set aside for the second dispensation of the Son, but now we're in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. So the obvious conclusion here is that you have a dispensation of the dragon, of the beast, and the false prophet, the counterfeits to this, based upon this perfectly paralleled counterfeit line of prophecy. So let's go to John 16:7 and look at a little bit of the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. John 16:7. Says, "Nevertheless I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you." Who's the Comforter? It's the Holy Spirit. And when was Jesus saying that He needed to go away? Right after the cross. He's saying, it's expedient that I begin the work in the heavenly sanctuary. And we've read a quote in this study already where we're told that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of the Pentecost was the token that Christ had been received as priest and king and had begun His work in the holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. So it was expedient that Christ return, that He go away in order for the dispensation of the Holy Spirit to arrive in history at the time of Pentecost. Revelation 13:3, I'm speaking of the dispensation of the Antichrist. It says, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death." In 1798, Satan, the Antichrist, the papacy, receives its deadly wound and it goes away. Where does it go away to? Well, it's forgotten, according to Isaiah 23. Tyre is forgotten for 70 years. In the Church of Thyatira in Revelation, that represents the 1260-year period, the symbol of the papacy in that time period is Jezebel. And we're going to look at the history of Elijah here in the next presentation, probably, and show that when the Battle of Carmel takes place over here, and at the Battle of Carmel between the prophets of Baal and Elijah, Ahab was there, but was Jezebel there? Jezebel was back in Samaria. In order for Carmel to take place, it was expedient that the papacy go away. It had to receive a deadly wound. It had to be forgotten. It had to return to Samaria and back out of the scene in order to let its satanic influence, the false prophet, accomplish the work. Because in the story of Carmel, we'll see that this is where the false prophet is raised up. So it was expedient that Christ go away in this history in order to bring in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. It was expedient that Jezebel return to Samaria, that she be forgotten in order to bring in the dispensation of the false prophet. In John 16, verses 12 and 13, we're told that the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to guide us into all truth. John 16, verse 12 says, "And I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that He shall speak, and He will shew, that shall He speak, and He will shew thee things to come." He leads us into truth. That's the point I'm making here, because we're going to see that the false prophet leads us into error. But it's also worth noting here that the Holy Spirit does not speak of Himself. Okay, in this dispensation, the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, the Scriptures tell us plainly that the Holy Spirit isn't going to be giving a great deal of information about who and what the Holy Spirit is. And of course, this is what Sister White says in connection with the Alpha of Apostasy in the time of John Harvey Kellogg, is that when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it's one of the things that inspirationist says that we should not be speculating, and she uses that word, upon the nature of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, is not here to explain who and what and how He is. He's here to explain who Christ was. He will not speak of Himself. He speaks of Christ. Just like in the dispensation of Christ, when He walked among men, what He was teaching them is, if you had seen Me, you had seen the Father. Christ is telling His people about the Father. The Holy Spirit is going to tell the people about the Son. Okay, so the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. And in Revelation 13, 12, we'll find that the false prophet, Revelation 13, 11, is the Sunday law in the United States. The earth beast is the United States. In verse 11 it says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth." This is the United States. "And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." And the United States speaks as a dragon at the Sunday law. "And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him," and does what? "Causes the earth and them that which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound is healed," was healed. So what is the work of the false prophet? The United States is the false prophet of Bible prophecy. He forces the world to worship Catholicism, to worship the representatives of Satan upon earth. That's error. The false prophet leads the whole world into error, whereas the Holy Spirit leads those that are willing to be led into what? Truth. I hope you're recognizing that when it comes to this two lines of prophecy, the line of Jerusalem, the line of Babylon, that it's not a vague or just inferences. These are very specific parallel prophecies. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will glorify the Son of Man. Go to John 16, 14. "He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall shew it unto you." Okay, so the Holy Spirit is going to glorify the Son. And in Revelation 13, 14, it says, in the context of this passage, this is still the United States, this is the false prophet. It says, "And deceiveth them that dwell upon the earth by means of those miracles which he," the United States, "had power to do in the sight of the beast," in sight of the papacy, "saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live." The United States is going to glorify the papacy. It's going to lift up an image of the papacy and force the whole world to accept that image. And of course, we know where this terminology, this illustration is drawn from. In Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar raises up an image. And what's Nebuchadnezzar doing with that image? He's counterfeiting the dream that he had in chapter 2, which was the dream identifying God's providential control of the history of the world with this image. And now Nebuchadnezzar, through self-exaltation and pride, he's setting up an image not to glorify the God that has all history under his control, but to glorify himself. He's not simply going to be the head of gold. He's going to be the entire image. This image is an image that glorifies Babylon. And of course, modern Babylon at the end of the world is the papacy, and the United States forces the world to accept the image of Babylon, the image of the beast. They glorify the Antichrist as the Holy Spirit glorifies Christ. Okay. Parallel lines of prophecy. The Holy Spirit will cause the Father's name to be manifested. Revelation 7, verses 1 through 3. As Seventh-day Adventists, we understand that the 144,000 in these verses that receive the seal of God, they receive it in their forehead. And what does the name in the forehead represent? The character, okay? Revelation 7, verse 1 says, "And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we've sealed the servants of God in our foreheads," in their foreheads. The sealing of the 144,000 is the manifestation of God's name in their character, okay? And the dragon's name is going to be manifested too. Revelation 13, verses 17 and 18. And of course, the sealing of the 144,000 is accomplished by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's a work that's accomplished by the Holy Spirit, the third holy dispensation. And in Revelation 13, we're seeing the work of the false prophet, the United States. And in verse 17 and 18, it says, "And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark," or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. "Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. The false prophet is going to produce the character of Satan in mankind, while the Holy Spirit is going to produce the character of God in mankind. That's the work of the Holy Spirit that is counterfeited by the work of the false prophet. And of course, the sign of God in Exodus 31:13, as this character is produced in God's people, the symbol of this character is the Sabbath. Exodus 31:13. It says, "Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a" what? "A sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you." And then if you go to Ezekiel 20:12, speaking of this sign. "Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbath as a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that does sanctify them." So the sign that the Holy Spirit places in the 144,000, the character of Christ, is represented by the Sabbath. And the sign of Satan also represents the character that is put into mankind through the efforts of the false prophet. In Revelation 13, verses 16 through 18, we'll just read verse 16 because we just read verse 17 and 18. Verse 16, speaking of the false prophet, the United States, it says, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads." And what is this mark? This is Sunday observance. This is the mark of the beast. They receive the sign identifying the character that they've developed. It's produced through the efforts of the false prophet of Bible prophecy, in contrast with the sign that the 144,000 receive that is accomplished in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. These are counterfeit lines of prophecy. In Christ Object Lessons, page 69, it says, when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put in the sickle because the harvest is come. Christ is waiting with longing desire for the manifestation of himself and his church. When the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in his people, then he will come to claim them as his own. The image of the beast, that's the image of God, is the character of Christ perfectly reproduced in his people. The image of the beast, Revelation 13, 11, and 14, of the United States sets up an image to the beast. The only definition for the image of the beast in God's word is the combination of church and state, with the church in control of the relationship. When the United States passes a Sunday law, the image of the beast will have been formed in the United States. The Protestants will have taken control of the government, and you are using the political branch of the United States to accomplish the enforcement of their dogmas, the symbol of which at this time is the sign of Rome's power, the Sunday law. And then in verse 14, the United States also forced the world to set up an image of the beast, which is a combination of church and state, with the church in control of the relationship. This is when the 10 kings of Revelation 17, the state, agree to give their kingdom to the papacy, the beast, because the false prophet of Bible prophecy has deceived the world into doing this very thing. The image of God is to be reproduced in his people through the power of the Holy Spirit. The image of the beast is going to be produced in the world through the power of the United States, the false prophet. The image of God in individuals, 2 Corinthians 3:18. says, in terms of how it is accomplished, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit accomplishes this change. And what's the famous principle that Sister White derives from this verse? By beholding, we become changed. By beholding Christ, we become changed into his image. And then in Review and Herald, July 13th, 1897, we're told about how the world is changed into the image of the beast. It says, the third angel's message has been sent forth to the world, warning men against receiving the mark of the beast or the image or of his image in their foreheads or in their hands. To receive this mark means to come to the same decision as the beast has done and to advocate the same ideas in direct opposition to the Word of God. Of all who receive this mark, God says, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. We will change into the image of Christ by beholding him. By beholding, we are changed. But those people that receive the image of the beast, the mark of the beast, they will have formed the same mental process, come to the same decisions as the beast by beholding the beast. Now, we've developed prophetically that there are three holy dispensations and there are three unholy dispensations. We're using prophecy to identify that if the first dispensation is of the Father and the second dispensation is of the Son and the third dispensation is of the Holy Spirit, then there must be a Holy Spirit. Upon a second testimony, we find that the dragon, Satan, is attempting to personate the Father, and the papacy, the Pope, is attempting to personate the Son, and the false prophet is attempting to personate the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. So upon the testimony of two, you have a reason to believe that the Holy Spirit is his own entity. Okay, let's close this with the statement that we will begin our next presentation with. The Review and Herald, February 12, 1895 says, "The councils of heaven are looking upon you who claim to have accepted Christ as your personal Savior to see you make known the salvation of God to those who sit in darkness. They are looking to see you making known the significance of the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. How that through the working of this divine agency, the minds of men, corrupted and defiled by sin, may become disenchanted with the lies and presentations of Satan and turn to Christ as their only hope, their personal Savior. Christ says, 'I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain.' As Christ's ambassador, I would entreat of all who read these lines to take heed while it is called today. If you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Without waiting a moment, inquire, what am I to Christ? And what is Christ to me? What is my work? What is the character of the fruit I bear? We are to make known the significance of the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that this dispensation of the Holy Spirit signifies is that it is being counterfeited by the dispensation of the false prophet. And the false prophet is a legitimate power, the United States. And the false prophet is associated with two other legitimate powers, the papacy, the United Nations, the dragon, the beast, the false prophet. These are all three genuine powers. Therefore, these powers are all three genuine powers, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we wish to understand the dispensation of the Holy Spirit that we might have the ability to make it known to others. We thank you for bringing us to this point of our studies, and we ask for your continued blessing as we begin to approach and deal with the subject that we've now taken up. And we thank you that we've had the ease and the privilege to come together without any restrictions to place this message into the record. We ask a blessing upon it now in Jesus' name. Amen.